Hard to believe it's week 11 in the 2024 Mid-States Football Association regular season. Welcome back in the studio. Glad to have you here as we are in the final week of the regular season. A lot of things are at stake this week, not just for the Wildcats, but for several teams in the MSFA and the NAIA. We'll get into all that today, but with that being said, I'm Gannon Parker, and welcome back to This Week in Wildcat Football. The Wildcats are back home after a sluggish 31-14 victory over the Saints of Siena Heights. Kyle Antoine struggled again, but did what was necessary for the offense, accounting for 24 of the 31 points scored. The defense shined again, holding the Saints scoreless through the first three quarters, while getting things started on the scoreboard with a scoop and score from Clayton Mosier. The Wildcats remain at number 3 in the latest NAIA rankings. Before we go any further, as per usual, let's take a look at the scores and standings from the MSFA and the top 10 rankings in the NAIA. Taylor wallops Madonna 91-28. Concordia beat Lawrence Tech 31-10. St. Francis of Indiana beat St. Xavier by a score of 27-14. Hanover beats Defiance 31-7. Marion wallops Judson 76-6. And St. Francis, Illinois beats Olivet Nazarene 38-13. Looking at the standings, first starting in the Midwest League, St. Francis of Indiana is 4-0 in conference play, 8-2 overall. Marion and St. Francis, Illinois, both 3-1 in conference play, both 7-2 overall. Olivet Nazarene, 2-2 in the conference, 5-4 overall. St. Xavier is 0-4 in conference play, 4-6 overall. And Judson, 0-4 as well, but they are 1-8 overall. Moving over to the Mideast League, the Wildcats sit atop 4-0 in conference play, 9-1 overall. The Trojans of Taylor, 3-1 in conference play, 8-2 overall. Concordia also 3-1, but they are 5-5 overall. Lawrence Tech 1-3, 2-7 overall. Siena Heights also 1-3 in conference play, 2-7 overall. Defiance College is 3-7 overall. And Madonna sits at the bottom at 0-4 in conference play and 0-10 overall. Moving over to the top 10 in the NAIA, Kaiser and Grandview sit at 1-2, as we've seen with the past few weeks. Indiana Wesleyan, no surprise, still at 3. Montana Western still at 4. St. Thomas of Florida is at 5. Morningside out of Iowa is at 6. Texas Wesleyan moves to number 7. Montana Tech moves to number 8. Benedictine out of Kansas is at 9. And Northwestern out of Iowa sits at number 10. Those are your scores and standings from the MSFA and your top 10 rankings in the NAIA heading into the final week of the regular season. So the Wildcats get a much-needed win over the Siena Heights Saints. Quick scoring summary. Like I said, Clayton Mosier had a 9-yard fumble recovery for a touchdown to get things started in the first quarter. Kyle Antoine then had a 12-yard touchdown run near the end of the first. And then moving into halftime, Josh Clifton kicked a field goal as time expired. Moving into the second half, Levi Tidwell had a 13-yard touchdown pass from Kyle Antoine, and then Tidwell scored again late in the third quarter from 8 yards out, also from Kyle Antoine, and then the Saints finally able to get on the scoreboard with 12 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. Chris Coleman had an 18-yard touchdown pass from Elijah Taylor, and then Riley Dunbar had a 9-yard touchdown pass from Elijah Taylor, making your final score once again 31-14. Looking at some team stats, the Wildcats had 22 first downs, 12 on the ground, 8 through the air, 2 aided by a penalty. For the Saints, they had 16 in total, only 3 on the ground, 11 through the air, and 2 aided by penalty. Rushing was the great dividend in this one. The Wildcats, 213 total yards on the ground. For the Saints, just 44. Passing, the Wildcats were beat for the second straight week. The Saints had 221 yards through the air. Wildcats with just 152 total offense. The Wildcats had 365 total yards. The Saints with just 265. So for the Wildcats, in terms of penalties, that's been a major area of concern throughout this season. Only 5 penalties were committed. However, they gave up 70 yards of field position. The Saints, however, 7 penalties for 55 yards. So however you want to look at that, the Wildcats really kind of came out even with the Saints on this one. If you look at both categories, in my eyes, that seems like something that would just, it's even, but for the Wildcats, just 5 penalties, not too bad, 70 yards. That's a bigger area of concern, but I think there are worse problems to have as a coach, and I'm sure Coach Rohde probably feels the same way. Looking at some individual stats, Kyle Antoine just 13 of 30 for 150 yards, two touchdowns, and an INT. He was not sacked at all. Arjun Lothe came in the game late. He just went 3 of 7 for 2 yards. No touchdowns, but he was able to protect the ball. No interceptions, and he was not sacked either. Rushing attack, no Ryan Whitwell once again, so Roosevelt Cage got the start. 27 attempts, 153 total yards, no touchdowns on the day. He averaged 5.7 yards per carries. Kyle Antoine tried rushing the ball 3 times. He was able to gain 33 yards and a score. His longest was 12 yards. He averaged 11 yards per carry. And Elijah Gibbs, 10 attempts for 29 yards. His longest was 6. No touchdowns. He averaged 2.9 yards per carry. For receiving, nothing crazy this week. Blake Brumbaugh had the most yards on just one catch. He had 50 yards. Isaac Smith, 6 catches for 35 yards. His longest was 13. Levi Tidwell, 4 catches for 34 yards and 2 touchdowns. His longest was 13. Kanan Curry with a catch for 26 yards. And Tristan Hayes had a catch for 5 as well. Moving over to the Saints, Elijah Taylor got the start at quarterback, going 15 of 34 for 214 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Wildcats were able to get home a couple times, registering 2 sacks. For rushing, Brendan Haseno went 17 attempts for just 42 yards, no touchdowns. And then Braylon Heimely, 3 attempts for just 9 yards. Wildcats were able to keep the Saints out of the end zone on the ground. For receiving, Tendaji Alexander had 4 catches for 77 yards. His longest was 28. Troy West II, 2 catches for 44 yards. Christian Coleman, 3 catches for 35 yards and a score. His longest was 18. And then Braden Haysenel, 4 catches for 27 yards. His longest was just 8. And Riley Dunbar had a catch for 9 yards, which went for a score as well. So those are your individual stats on the offensive side of the ball. Looking over at the defense, once again, we will just go with the Wildcats. Clayton Mosier led the way with 10 tackles, had a fumble recovery, and a scoop and score. Of those 10 tackles, 5 solo, 5 assisted. Luke Bays had 7 total, 5 assisted, 2 solo. Preston Sykes, 5 total tackles, 3 of them were assisted, 2 solo. Neil Campbell, 5 total tackles, 4 solo, 1 assisted. Davion Turner, 4 total tackles, 2 solo, 2 assist. And Drake Deshetsky, 4 total tackles, 2 assisted, and 2 solo. So the Wildcats take this one 31-14. They've won every game since that loss to Valpo. They're on a very impressive winning streak. And the past couple weeks, though, we've seen some struggles a little bit from the offense. The defense has looked really good. Obviously, the 2 touchdowns that they gave up, I don't want to call it garbage time. They were up 31-0. And when I was talking to Coach Rohde earlier this week, which you guys will hear here in a moment, one of the things he talked about was with those 2 touchdowns, a lot of the second unit guys were in, so he wasn't too concerned about those points being given up. The offense has looked a little shaky. Obviously, the absence of Ryan Whitwell, that changes your running attack a little bit. Kyle Antoine has not looked as good as he has been earlier in the season. But the Wildcats did what they needed to do. I think style points are a little overrated. Can they be cause for concern? Yes, but overall, the only stat that matters at the end of the day is getting a win. So for the Wildcats, they did what they needed to. Final road game probably for a while. That's assuming that they do not fumble the bag against Lawrence Tech on Saturday. But if they're able to take care of business at home on Senior Day, we'll get into all that here very shortly, but they're able to take care of business, they will be at home for a good portion of the playoffs. However, earlier this week, I was able to sit down and catch up with Wildcats head coach Andrew Rohde to discuss last week's game against Siena Heights and get his thoughts on heading into the final week of the regular season. Here with head football coach for Indiana Wesleyan, Andrew Rohde. Coach, coming off of a defensive slugfest, some might call it, against Siena Heights, you guys remain at the number 3 spot. Talk to me a little bit about what impressed you most in that game from your defense.
Our defense, they played really well. They were, it was probably about 50 plays into the game, so almost the entire game before they really kind of started giving anything up to Siena Heights. And at that point, I think, you know, some of our guys had already started coming out of the game. But man, they played great. You know, Siena Heights is not an overly complicated offense in terms of what they're doing. So just the fact that our guys came out, really understood the game plan, and they played really fast through the whole thing was great. Now, I will say, you know, Siena Heights came down, and you know, those first few plays, they ran the ball on us. But once we kind of got settled in and firmed up up front, and they played really, really well on the front end and the back end.
Now, shifting over things to the offense, you look at a guy like Kyle Antoine, obviously a sophomore quarterback. It's hard to say that he's had a couple games that have been off when you look at the numbers he's been putting up in the last two games versus the first seven. But he's been playing rather well. How do you, as a coach, just try and hone in on your younger quarterback and make sure that his psyche doesn't get undone and he focuses on just doing the right things?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's a redshirt freshman, so he's, you know, still in his first year. And so I think anytime you've got a first-year player, you're going to have some inconsistencies, and you're going to have some flashes of, you know, really great things and potential of what his future can really look like. And I think we've seen some of those games and some of those throws where you're just like, oh my goodness, this guy is pretty special and he's doing some great things. And then I think you see some moments on the other side of not the kind of football that you get real fired up to watch. And so I think, you know, Kyle knew this was not, he did not have his best game on Saturday against Siena Heights. But I think it was a little bit challenging, and he's obviously, he was frustrated about it just because, you know, I think our potential and our expectation was we're going to walk out and play better than we did and score a little bit more than we did or more quickly than we did. But he didn't play his best. But I think what I was proud of him and the rest of our team is, you know, he made some plays with his legs, which is what he needed to do. And he just kept playing hard, and he kept learning, and he kept growing, and he got better as the game went on. And our running game and some of the receivers, they kind of took over and carried some of the weight of, you know, the weight of the offense on their shoulders and took some of it off of Kyle, and they stepped up and made some good big plays. And our offensive line and tight ends and the running game, they got better as the game went on as well. So, you know, it wasn't Kyle's best game, but I think he's a tough-minded guy, and he's going to bounce back. And I'm thankful we got a group and a really good defense and a great team around him that can step up in some of those moments so that he doesn't have to be as perfect as he wants to be.
Yeah, moving over, you're talking about the running game a little bit. Obviously, Roosevelt Cage getting the start again this week. Elijah Gibbs right behind him. What's the injury update on Ryan Whitwell and his condition?
He's making great progress, and we'll kind of see how things shake out as the week continues to progress and see where he's at on Saturday. So it's a little bit, he's questionable, and we'll just kind of see how he's doing. But he's making great progress, and he's moving around well, and he's starting to feel better and better.
Well, he's glad to hear that. So this weekend, final home game, it's senior day. There are a lot of different things at stake, not just for you guys, but across the MSFA and across the NAIA, especially in the top 10. Last year, you guys were in a similar situation. You guys had a stake of the MSFA title. You guys have already secured at least a share of it. Going into this final week, you guys have a chance to secure sole possession. Talk to me a little bit about last year, how the situation is very similar. Does that run in your mind at all, or are you just focused on this game?
I think last year was a very different situation. I mean, we limped into that game with lots and lots of injuries, and we didn't finish well. I mean, even if you have injuries, you can still finish well. We just didn't finish well on either side of the ball. You know, the injuries make it a little bit more challenging. But this year is a much different year. I mean, I think we're walking in a lot more confident, with much greater understanding of our systems on offense and defense and special teams. And we're walking in a much healthier team than we were, you know, walking into that same situation last year. So I don't think last year has any bearing on what is going to happen this year. And honestly, I think we've had two unbelievable practices on Tuesday and Wednesday. So I think we're setting ourselves up for a much better game this weekend than what we've had the last two weekends.
You know, I talked about practice and having really great practices this week. What does preparation look like overall as you get ready to face the Blue Devils?
You know, so preparation is very similar to every other week. I mean, I don't think we look at Lawrence Tech or Siena or Concordia or Marion or St. Francis, Illinois or Indiana or any of those teams that we're playing any differently. I mean, I think we just stick to our process and stick to the routine of, you know, getting up and watching the film and game planning and prepping our guys and watching lots of film and working through it and going through all the details of what we need to go through on offense and defense and special teams to be prepared to play great football. And so preparation is kind of the same every single week. We just have our routine and we keep rolling through it. So we just got to put two more great practices together to finish this week. And I think, you know, when we do that, we go Tuesday through Friday, and we are locked in every day and guys have energy and they're picking up the details of the game plan. I think you walk into Saturday feeling pretty confident about our ability to play well.
All right, last question here, Coach. Obviously, going up against the Blue Devils at Lawrence Tech this Saturday, kickoff is at noon. What kind of challenges do the Blue Devils present to your Wildcat team?
Offensively, they've got, I think, a very good quarterback. And I think they've got a really good running back who's big, he's physical, he can hit home runs, as evidenced by running for 300 plus some yards against Marion a handful of weeks ago. And then they've got some good receivers. They got some good skill guys. So I think they're going to be challenging. I think their offense is probably the strength of their team. Yet their defense is still really good too. So that you can see that they've got a really good coaching staff. The guys are coached well. They're not making foolish mistakes. They're not getting excessive or foolish penalties. So I think we're going to have to play a clean game to be as good as we want. Otherwise, we're going to give them opportunities that they don't deserve when they play us. So I think that's going to be one of the biggest challenges. They've got some good skill players on offense. They play a good, sound offensive scheme. They do simple things, but they do them well. And then defensively, it's the same. They play a tough defense. Schematically, it's a tough defense, and they do it well. And you can see them, although they're very young on defense because they got a new coaching staff, you can see them getting better and better and better every week.
All right, Coach. Appreciate it. Thank you for taking time out of your day. Good luck here on Saturday.
Thanks, Cannon. Appreciate you.
Once again, that was head football coach Andrew Rohde. Always a pleasure to catch up with the coach. Players seem to love him. He's a wonderful human being. Great coach. He's done a great job with this program, and we wish him a lot of luck against Lawrence Tech on Saturday. In the final game of the regular season, Indiana Wesleyan looks to turn Senior Day into a coronation against the Lawrence Tech Blue Devils, a team who has never found themselves victorious over the Wildcats. Indiana Wesleyan looks to improve to 7-0 in the all-time series and claim sole possession of the 2024 Mid-States Football Association regular season championship and maintain a top three spot heading into the playoffs. So coming into this game for the Wildcats, once again, they have never lost to the Blue Devils, I do believe, in the announcers or broadcasters' jinx, whatever you want to call it, so I don't want to speak too soon. But this is a Wildcat team that has been dominant this season. Just looking at their season stats right now, they're averaging 48 points per game while only giving up 11. If you do the math, that's 486 points scored while only allowing 110 for the entire season. They're dominating in just about every category that you can think of. It seems like every week they have a MSFA Mideast Player of the Week, whether it's offense, defense, special teams. This, I think, is only one of 2 weeks where no Wildcat was able to get that honor, but I don't think any of those players are all too concerned with that. For the Blue Devils, they come into this game, they are 2-7 overall. Points per game, they're only scoring 25 while allowing 37. In total, they have scored 227 points in their first nine games while allowing 337. They're getting beat in just about every category. It's almost a polar opposite of the Wildcats. They're led by Ryan Schuster at quarterback. He's completing about 53% of his passes. He's thrown for 1,625 yards this season, 11 touchdowns. His longest was 71. He's gone 138 for 258 overall this season. He's thrown 8 interceptions. On the ground, Devon Bentley has been their main runner. Through the first nine games, he's carried the ball 126 times for 847 yards and 9 touchdowns. His longest was 64. For receiving, Brendan Sursaw, through 8 games, has racked up 25 receptions for 453 yards and 3 touchdowns. Although leading the way in scores is Jaden Rembert with 5 touchdowns. Through 9 games, he's got 23 receptions for just 295 yards. And this is a Blue Devils team that has just 2 wins on the season, coming against the 2 worst teams in the MSFA. One against Judson, where they put up 77 points while only allowing 18 in that one, and then beating Madonna 45-28. Boy, poor Madonna. They just cannot catch a break this season. It's been a tough go of things for the Crusaders over there. You got to feel for them. Even if they're a bitter rival, you really got to feel for them. Taylor just put up 91 on them, and it was just an absolute slaughtering over there. So really got to feel for them. But I digress. Not the most important thing right now. Right now, just talking about Lawrence Tech. So this is a game where the Wildcats really just need to take care of business, get up to a quick lead. We've seen the past couple weeks, so the Wildcats played Concordia, then they played Siena Heights, two teams that coming into the game, you thought, man, I don't know how good they really are. And the Wildcats really kind of struggled with them a little bit, especially Concordia. They danced around with them a lot at halftime. I think a lot of people may forget that it was just a 7-point game at the half, and then Kyle Antoine threw an interception right off the bat to start the third quarter. Thankfully, the defense stepped in, and did their job, and the Wildcats were able to win that game 48-24, so they doubled the Cardinals' score. And then Siena Heights, Antoine didn't play his best game, but like I said, he did everything he had to. You heard Coach Rohde talk about that. And one of the things that Rohde said that I really loved was how Antoine was just as upset. He was disappointed in himself, and he knows that he has to play better. But also, he's got great guys around him. That is such an underrated facet of this team, is that veteran leadership. We see it on both ends of the ball. But mainly focusing on the offense, there are so many upperclassmen, especially a lot of senior receivers, Isaac Smith, Levi Tidwell, guys like that who can come behind Antoine and say, hey, just settle down, we're going to be okay. And that's exactly what you would want in your veteran players, especially guys who are hailed as team leaders, especially like guys like Levi Tidwell. So for the Wildcats, this is a get-right game, I think, in my eyes. This is the final game of the regular season. Get some tune-ups before heading into the playoffs, going on a run. Last year, it seems like, from an outsider's perspective, it may seem like it's the same situation last year where all they needed to do was get a win. But as Coach Rohde said, this is a very different team. Wildcats are a much healthier team. They're a new-look team, a lot of familiar faces, but they still have a new kind of confidence, a new kind of swagger and identity than we saw last year. But the Wildcats, they already have a share of the MSFA title, but they're looking to take it all. Last year, they ended up having to share it with Marion. They detested that. It hurt them going into the playoffs. But this year, they're in a much better spot, and I think the Wildcats will be able to take care of business on Saturday. Now, a couple things to keep track of. The Wildcats are number 3 in the NAIA. Kaiser sits at 1, and then Grand Valley sits at 2. Neither one of those teams has lost a game so far this season. Both teams will be playing at home on Saturday. For Kaiser, they play Ave Maria. It's also their senior day. That is a 7:30 p.m. game. And then for Grandview, they play Graceland, and it's also their senior day. Now, moving over to Kaiser, Ave Maria has not been a solid football team this year, and just the way that Kaiser has been able to blow past teams and really just dominate, Kaiser's probably going to be the number 1 seed in all likelihood. Don't want to speak too soon. Obviously, you always have to play the game. Anything can happen, so I don't want to sound too pessimistic or too negative, just looking at the reality of the situation. And as my grandfather would say, using history as a predictor, it seems like Kaiser will be able to take care of business and lock up the number 1 seed. Graceland University, though, that's a team that you really want to keep your eye on as they play Grandview. Anything can happen. I think there's a better shot of Graceland beating Grandview than there is of Ave Maria beating Kaiser. It'd be nice if both of those teams were able to get wins against the 1 and 2 seeds. That would put the Wildcats in great position heading into the selection show on Sunday. So those are two games to keep your eyes on, especially when it comes to playoff seeding. We've heard from Coach Rohde time and time again that they don't really focus too much on what's going on across the country. They just make sure that they do their jobs and focus on, you know, what they can do as a team and things that they can control. And I think that's the right mentality to have as a coach. If you get too caught up in things you can't control, things that are going on outside, you lose focus on what's right in front of you. And that's really where it comes back to bite you in the butt. So the Wildcats have a lot at stake here. Lock up the 3 seed or maybe even go higher. Also for getting the 2024 MSFA regular season title. Just so much is on the line, and the Wildcats really just need to go out there and take it. You know, we've been talking so much about the Wildcats staying at the 3 spot or maybe even going higher. That's huge as well because they would get a bye week, so they'd have a week off. And one of the things that when I asked Coach Rohde about was Ryan Whitwell's injury. You heard him talk here earlier on the show, was he'll most likely dress, but they probably won't play him. He's making good progress, which is great to hear. That is an area of concern, or I guess you can call it a thing of importance rather than an area of concern heading into the playoffs. You hope he's healthy. You hope he's ready to go. Right now, Roosevelt Cage still will be the starter. He's got Elijah Gibbs coming behind him. That's something that we've talked about a couple times on the show already with the injury to Ryan Whitwell, was what is this running back room going to look like, and how is Elijah Gibbs going to handle that pressure as the number two running back? He was the number two guy last year. Then this year he's been put as the 3rd string. Now he's back to the 2 spot. So hopefully on Saturday against the Blue Devils, the Wildcats are able to get out to a big lead. We can see more of Elijah Gibbs. He can get more game reps once again. He hasn't gotten a ton so far this season. Obviously, that's been increased in the past couple weeks due to the absence of Whitwell. But you don't want to beat up Roosevelt Cage too much, because if Ryan Whitwell is not able to go, at least for that first or second round of playoffs, whichever one the Wildcats end up playing in, depending on how Saturday plays out, and then obviously the selection show on Sunday, you want to make sure Gibbs is also good, make sure Roosevelt Cage is good to go, and just make sure everybody is healthy and set up for a good playoff run. And I know the regular season is not quite over. We still got one more game, but this has been just a phenomenal season, not just in the MSFA and the NIAA, just watching the Wildcats. This has been by far the best Wildcat football team that I've seen in my time here. It's been a wonderful experience. I've been able to call the games, and you know, I hope they're able to go far in the playoffs. I think they definitely have the players to do it, and if there was ever a time for them to go far, I think this is the team to do it. They had a great team in 2022 as Lang's last year. I think this team is better than what we saw a couple years ago, and they have the potential to go very far. It's really just about putting the pieces together and making the things happen. So kickoff for the Wildcats and Blue Devils game is at noon Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. And that's all for this week in Wildcats football.